The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turning your Bibles to Luke, the 5th chapter. I'm going to go ahead and begin reading while you're turning there. I want to read down to verse 11. Luke, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1 as you're turning. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and prayed or asked Simon that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking or preaching, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, which means a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners. It's verse 7, if you're just catching in, which were in the other ship, and they stood, they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught or the catch of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want you to notice what Jesus says in verse 4 here. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. I want you to know that that has everything to do with us today when it comes to casting our cares or our burdens upon the Lord. You know, that's almost an urban legend, is it not? People say, cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Okay? How do I do that? What does that mean? Because I don't know if y'all are like me, but when I have cast my cares and my burdens upon the Lord before, I'd go and get down on my knees and cast them on the Lord. And then when I'd get through praying, I'd get up and pick my burden back up and take it right back with me. Are y'all like that? You know, you feel good when you're praying, and it feels, you can feel the presence of the Lord sometimes, and you feel relieved when you pray, and then you get back up and you're looking right back at that burden again. Y'all understand that? I want you to notice that Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. First of all, understand when he says launch, the word launch means to bring yourself up to a higher place. It's a navigator's term that says to set sail, bring yourself up to a higher place. And then he turns right around and he says launch or bring yourself up to a higher place and let down. Which means to relax and let yourself down to a lower place. That's a dichotomy, isn't it? That's a curiosity there. He tells them to launch out to a higher place, but I want you to let down into a lower place. I tell you, that is the technique. That is the teaching. That is the understanding of what Jesus is telling us about casting our burdens upon Him. He is telling us to launch out into the deep. Go out to a place, come out to a higher place where I am, he says. And when you are there, let down or let yourself relax into a place where you can have relief. Launch out into the deep. It means to cast your cares upon him. A little bit of background here. If you read carefully the accounts of Jesus calling the disciples, I believe it's pretty clear that you'll find that this is the second time that Jesus called Simon to follow him. If you read the account in the book of Matthew, you'll find some things happen there where it says that immediately Peter, when Jesus called him and said, come follow me, he was washing his nets, he was mending their nets, and different things were going on there. He was casting a net, and he went and followed Jesus. And they saw a lot of miracles. They saw Peter's mother-in-law healed. They saw other things happen there for several days. But then you come back to Luke, the 5th chapter, and here he is again. Peter's back doing the same old thing again. And the Lord tells him this time, after he's preached off the bow of Peter's ship, and this ship, by the way, was probably just a small, not tiny, but a smaller rowboat type ship that they fished out of that was big enough to hold big nets, but it was not like a sailing ship. It was a rowing ship. And I could just picture Jesus standing on the bow of that ship overlooking the beach there as the people, hundreds, thousands, were gathered there, possibly on a hillside, almost like a stadium type of viewing where they were sitting down and listening. And Jesus positions himself just out from the water, just out from the land, just a little bit in the water, and he begins to address the people and preach. In many ways, it sounds like an old Baptist meeting, doesn't it? They just showed up somewhere and somebody began to preach. How simple is that? That's what your Savior believed in, was simple worship that everyone could relate to. And so the fishermen, Peter, James, and the others just sit there and they listen. Peter obviously is in the boat. And then after he finishes preaching, he looks at Peter and he says, "Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw." Now, if the Lord is calling upon us to cast our cares upon Him, I want you to notice that the objection that's given here by Peter is the same objection that you and I give whenever we attempt to cast our burdens upon the Lord, but then we take them right back up. And let me just say this. There's not a person under the sound of my voice this morning, your pastor included, that does not have burdens. Do you understand that? Emotional burdens, physical burdens, things that burden your mind, things that are causing you to have stress. Is there a single... I don't know anybody in my life that doesn't have stress. If I do find that person, I want to stay away from them because that makes me worry about them a little bit. Everybody's got stress. Everybody's got burden. There are some of you here that have burdens in your mind and in your heart that you might be ashamed to even mention, or that you might not be, that you might not want to mention, but the Lord knows what those burdens are. I may not know your heart other than what you tell me, but the Lord knows your heart whether you ever tell it or not. Everybody's got burdens. And I want you to see what Peter's burden was right here. I want you to picture Peter, okay? Here he is. He's just sat and listened to a sermon. I don't know how long it was, but I'm telling you, if Jesus was preaching and talking, I don't think it would matter how long it was. But this is sometime in the morning, and I want you to notice when Jesus tells Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep, Peter says, "Master." Now just picture old Peter here now, who was always quick to respond. He says, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Have you toiled with your burdens all the night and taken nothing as Peter did? Peter had been physically up all night and they'd been out on that lake casting their nets and drawing them in, a very physically exhausting way to make a living. These fishermen were not lazy. These men were out here casting these heavy nets out there. As a matter of fact, when I've been to Africa at least one time preaching, we observed some fishermen doing their fishing just like this. We saw their nets. We even went to the fish market after they bring those catches in and dried them out and had hundreds and thousands and several acres of dried fish laying out. And we saw those boats and we saw the nets. So I can picture this clearly in my mind as Peter and these men are out there in the dark and they're casting out their nets over and over and they're bringing in nothing. They might bring in, you know, some shrimp, or they might bring in a shell, or they might bring in something they're not looking for. They cast their nets all night. Peter is physically exhausted. Have you ever stayed up all night and then tried to work out throughout the next day? I've done that before, whether it was studying in college sometimes. Sometimes we'd make a long drive back from somewhere, maybe to where we were going back home. And you're not a happy camper the next day after you've stayed up all night. I don't care how young you are, and I don't care how much stamina you have. I personally am not a happy camper. I want to sleep. The last thing that I want to do, if I'm a fisherman and I've been up all night and I've been casting my net for no avail, the last thing I want to do is to go out again and launch into the deep and begin to cast my net again. And don't you know, Peter was also thinking, you know, he doesn't really fully understand who this man is, but this guy grew up a carpenter, right? What's he going to tell me about fishing? You know, Peter's an expert fisherman. And here is this man that he views as a man who grew up as a carpenter's son. And he knows about the hammer. And he knows about the saw. And he knows about nails. And he knows about building furniture. But he doesn't know thing one about fishing. Who is he to tell me that he knows something about launching out into the deep when I've been out there all night? Have you ever felt that way towards Jesus? Who is he? He can't identify with me. He can't tell me what I need to do. There's no way he understands what I'm going through. Peter felt the same way. Notice what he said. Master. Thank goodness he addressed him as Master. Master, we have toiled all the night. Can't you hear the frustration in his voice? We've toiled all the night. That word toiled there, it means Peter was tired. And not only was he tired, he was bitterly tired. Because he toiled all the night and took nothing. I'll tell you now, there's been a few times when maybe I toiled all night or way into the night doing something. And whenever I finally put my tools down and said, I'm finished for the day, I might be able to look upon what I had done, whether I was building something or doing something, maybe preparing for a trial. I mean, think about the times that you have accomplished something way into the night. You might be practicing your sport, or you might be preparing for a test, and you say, I'm ready. And though I'm tired, I've got this sense of satisfaction inside me that I'm going to be able to get the job done tomorrow when the sun rises. Or maybe you're looking up and you say, well, the sun is now rising. It's time to go take the test. It's time to go play the game. It's time to go do what I need to do. It's time to bring everybody in with excitement and show them what you built. Like Brother Luke was talking about. You talk about stuff you're excited about. That is not the condition of Peter. He has toiled all night. He's worked all night long with his partners and with the other fishermen, and they have had no profit in what they've done. He's exhausted, he's tired, and he's bitterly tired. And from what you read right here, he's pretty fired up too. He says, Master, we've toiled all night. Are you kidding me? You want me to cast out there one more time? You want me to throw this burden that I have out there on you once more, Lord, when I have proved that it doesn't do a bit of good? You ever felt that way with your burdens? I've cast it, Lord, and you've not given me an answer. And Lord, I've cast it again and again. There's just no point in casting it again. And Jesus said, launch out into the deep. You think you know better than Jesus about your burdens? You think Peter knew better than Jesus about the burden that Peter had? Oh, listen to what Peter says. I hope you say this when it comes to your burdens. He says, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, listen now. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Do you think Peter's heart was in this? Do you think Peter's mind was set? Yes, it's going to work. Hallelujah. Jesus said the word. I've rubbed the magic lamp. The genie's going to grant me my wish and everything's going to be great again. Peter says, it's not going to work. We've already been there. We've already done that. We've already submitted our burden again and again and cast the net again and again. And yet Peter says, nevertheless, I don't agree with it. I don't see it. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think you know what you're talking about, Jesus. You're not an expert fisherman. You don't know what you're talking about. But at thy word, I'll do it. Oh, you've got to admire Peter to some degree for that, don't you? Oh, I admire him that even though his mind was against it, even though his emotions were against it, even though his heart was against it, he said, at thy word, you've told me to cast. You've told me to launch. I'm going to. And so he did. And I really appreciate something that Brother Luke said in his message at Vestavia a couple Friday nights ago. He was preaching about Andrew. And he said at the end of his sermon, he said, what if Andrew had looked at Jesus that day and said, when Jesus said, come follow me or come and see. What if he said, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I got to make this appointment. I got these people to meet. I got to meet somebody for lunch. I got to go fishing. I've got to go hunting. I've got to go shopping. You know, my kids are involved in this. What if Andrew had done it? He would have missed everything. And what if Peter right here and now has said, I'm not going to do it, Lord. I am exhausted. I've cast my burden all night. I've cast my net again and again. There's not a fish in this lake. You think he said that? You think he felt that? Absolutely, he felt that. And Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. And Peter said, okay, I don't want to. I don't feel it. I'm not getting it. But I'll do it because you said so. You got to admire Peter's discipleship there. We pick on Peter a lot. And he is a fiery individual. And he is one that fires off at the mouth a lot, but you've got to admire the fact that he said, nevertheless, you are the master. even though you grew up as a carpenter's son, and I'll launch out into the deep. And so they launch out into the deep, and they go out to a place, and Jesus says, let them down right here. And they're like, okay, whatever. And here they go, and they let their nets down, and the nets are so full of fish that they're breaking. Can't you just see Jesus going, in his mind, going, okay, come to me, all you little fishes, come on. Come on, here they come. They're getting worked up in a little hurricane frenzy underwater. They're circling around. You know, Jesus just bringing them on. They're going, okay, it's not going to happen. And here come all those fishes. And they say, okay, well, you know, what's that swirl out there in the water? Oh my goodness, get the nets out there. And they draw in so many fish that it starts to sink the two boats when they pull them together. And Peter, who didn't believe it would work, Peter, who said it won't work, but nevertheless, I'll do it. Peter there, he looks at Jesus. It says he fell down at Jesus' knees, which gives you the indication that Jesus is sitting in the boat. He's just sitting there going, I'm having a good time. I told him to launch out in the deep. I'm fixing to show them my power. They're casting their burden upon me now, and they're going where I tell them to go, and they're doing what I tell them to do. And Peter falls down at the feet. At the knees of Jesus, and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know what that was? That was just a confession of what he'd said. It's not going to work. You don't know what you're talking about. I've cast my burden. I've cast my care over and over, and it didn't work. He just confessed. And look what he said. Depart from me. I am such... Let me just put it in terms of what I would say today, and please forgive the vernacular that I'm about to use. This is Brother Tim looking at this situation today and saying, I am such an idiot. That's what I would say today. I am so foolish. He's proved himself time and time again in my life. He's shown me again and again that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and that I'm to cast my burdens upon him again and again. How could I be so foolish to think that now at this point in my life with this burden that I'm facing, this infirmity that I have, this issue that I have, how could I think that he wouldn't be the same God that he was yesterday? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I hope that's your confession on a regular basis. I hope you look in the mirror and you see yourself as a sinful man, woman, or child. Because the Pharisees didn't see themselves as sinful. They never did anything wrong. And it was always everybody else's fault around them about what their situation was. If something was wrong in their life, they had somebody to blame it on. Well, it's your fault. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not giving me what you're supposed to be giving me. And therefore, I am upset. And that was the basis of their being upset. Oh, the child of God's basis for being upset is much different. The child of God looks in the mirror and says, I'm the problem. I am at fault. It's me. That's what this is teaching us here. Peter said, it's not going to work. And Peter said, forgive me for ever saying that it's not going to work. So what's your burden? What is your burden? Psalms 55 and 22. Listen to what it says. Psalms 55 and 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. The word cast right there means to throw or to hurl or to fling. So he is literally saying fling or throw or hurl your burden. That which is afflicting you or affecting you. That issue that you have in your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your school, in your workplace, wherever you may be. That burden that is afflicting you, he says, fling it, hurl it upon me. Not just any old me, that is the word Jehovah right there. Jehovah means the I am, the great I am. It's the same thing that God said to Moses when Moses says, you want me to go down there in Egypt and do what? You want me to go speak to those people and tell them what you've told me? I can't do it, Lord. Who will I tell them sent me? And the Lord says, you tell them that I am that I am sent you. I didn't just show up for this particular moment. He says, I've always been. I've always been there. I was here before there was an earth here. I'll be here whenever the earth crumbles and burns. He says, fling your burden upon the great I am. Who has been in existence before there was ever time. Don't tell me for one second that the great I am does not know your trouble and know your issue and know your trial. And what's the result, Brother Tim? I want that deliverance. I want that thing to stop vexing me. Oh, how many times have we got down on our knees and prayed that? Lord, this issue's killing me. It's wearing me out. It's keeping me up at night. I can't get any sleep. I can't function the way that I need to function. Oh, just take it away, Lord. Well, I want you to know that the solace, that the comfort that you have is not in the taking away of the issue. The comfort that you have, and He may take it away, but the comfort that you have is in Him sustaining you. The word sustain, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If you're casting your burden upon the Lord, if you're flinging it 100 times, 1,000 times upon the Lord, He says that I will sustain you. The word sustain means to contain. It means to nourish. It means to support. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what your issue is, no matter how many times you've cast your net and brought in nothing, no matter how many times you've put your issue before the Lord and you say, I haven't got an answer, I want you to know if you're casting it to Him, you have what you need, and that is the information that He is sustaining you. Amen. You say, but Brother Tim, I just pick it right back up and walk out the door or the closet. So do I. So what do? Get back down on your knees. Get back down on your knees. Turn around, close the closet door. Get back down on your knees one more time. Well, I'm still going to get up, Brother Tim. Cast it upon Him as you walk out the closet door. I tell you, I've had issues in my life that have so vexed me that I would just cry out and say, why can't I get over this? Why can't I deal with this? Why can't I process this? What's wrong with me? That's a good place to start right there. Because most of the time we say, what's wrong with so-and-so? Well, if they'd just hush their mouth or if they'd just do right, well, then I wouldn't have this issue anymore. Well, you know, I'm not God and neither are you. And nobody's a puppet before God. So I don't know if God will change that person or take them out of your life or cause them to be in a different location than you. But if they're there and they're real and they're an issue for you, then I want you to know you need to keep casting that up to the Lord. Oh, and feel the comfort of knowing that He will sustain you. 1 Peter 5:7. Hey, it's Peter, by the way. It's Peter again. 1 Peter 5:7. Peter says this. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Okay, let's get this now. Casting, throwing is what that means right there. You think Peter knew something about casting, if he was casting a net, if he was casting a fishing pole, or if he was casting his burden upon the Lord. Casting, this is coming from a fisherman now. Casting all your care. The word care right there is the Greek word merimna, which is the word that we know today as anxiety. Are you with me this morning? Do you have things in your life that cause you anxiety or anxiousness? I love the picture. You say, well, I don't understand the difference between anxiety and fear. Let me put this in perspective for you, because I think this is a good way to look at it. Not all fear is bad, right? There are things that kick in with you and certain types of fear that are good things. For example, whenever the ball was thrown to me and I caught the ball downfield when I was in high school, I had a healthy fear that came over me. The defensive back is fixing to kill me. That's a healthy fear. So you know what I did? Woo! I made that move. Did y'all like that? I'll do it again. I still got a few moves left. They're just not quite as fast as they used to be. That's a healthy fear. If you're being tracked down by somebody trying to kill you, it's a healthy fear to hide, right? There is healthy fear, but that's not what anxiety is. Healthy fear prompts you to action. Do you get that? Healthy fear causes you to move. Anxiety causes you to freeze up, and you become inoperative, and you become incapable. I had heard it put this way once, and I love the imagery. You know, when a thunderstorm comes through, and it's scary, and it's awful, and there's rain, and there's lightning, and then when it clears out, y'all seen it, and everything's dripping with water, and it looks crisp and clear, and all that fear has gone. It's just washed the place clean, maybe washed the pollen away, and it just looks so beautiful out there, doesn't it? Well, the storm was fearful, but it passed. Anxiety, on the other hand, is like that fog that comes in and you're just reaching out there. You just can't see what's going on. and you just, well, where do we go? I can't even see with my lights on sometimes. Do y'all understand the difference between good, healthy fear and anxiety? Anxiety paralyzes you. Anxiety makes you inoperative. And anxiety exhibits itself in so many horrible ways. It exhibits itself through anger. And it exhibits itself through depression. And it exhibits itself in becoming paralyzed where you cannot function in a way that pleases God. And Peter says, casting all your anxiety upon Him, for He careth for you. Now listen to this word, careth, right here. This word is not the word for anxiety. This word is a word called melo, which means that the Lord cares individually about you. It's not that He's anxious about you, but He loves you. As a matter of fact, you'll find at least two places in the New Testament where the Greek word melo was used like this. The apostles are in the ship, and the storm's all around. Jesus is asleep in the bow, in the stern. And they cry out and they say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? There's another place where there was a woman named Martha. And she was mad at her sister Mary. And she looked in there at Jesus who was preaching. And Mary was sitting at His feet just enthralled by the words of God. And Martha's in there just stirring up the eggs and whipping up the whatever she's whipping up. You know, and she's cooking and she's doing all this stuff. You know, it's funny that Martha's name was Martha because we know one like that today. You know, Martha Stewart, you know. She's constantly homemaking. You know, that was her thing. And she's whipping it up in there and she comes to the door. I can just see her there with that ladle down next to her hand and dough all over her hand. And she says, Master, Jesus, don't you care that my sister's not helping me? Can you ladies identify with that? Moving right along, don't amen. Don't you care that I've got all this on me? Don't you care that the laundry's piling up? Don't you care, Jesus, that I've got to get to these little whippersnappers that are just talking back to me all the time? Don't you care that I've got to help them with their homework? Don't you care that I only get to see my husband just a few minutes a day because he's working to provide for this family? Don't you care, Lord? I'm telling you, the Lord cares. Oh, does He ever care? He is not anxious about you, child of God. You are anxious. You are anxious. And if you're experiencing that paralyzing fear, if you're experiencing that, then your master says to you, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Go to a higher place where I have told you to go. And let down your nets there. Cast your cares upon Me. And you'll feel the relaxation. You'll feel the comfort. You'll feel the presence of your Holy Master who cares for you. You see, casting your cares and your worries and your issues into your sea of nothing and laboring and toiling all night to draw in those nets that you have cast again and again and again and bringing nothing in. Oh, aren't you tired of that kind of casting? Aren't you tired of trying to make it work your way? Then I'm here to tell you, Jesus is calling you to make it work His way. You say, well, Brother Tim, I'm looking forward to that, you know, being delivered from my burden and my issue. Jesus never promised that He would take that issue away, child of God, but He promised that if you cast it upon Him again and again and again, then He will give you the comfort of the Spirit to know that He is with you. He is with you. Let me just say this. If your idea of casting your burden upon the Lord is to bring forth your issue or your complaint in front of others and run people down and be upset and be angry, then don't be surprised if that's what you're surrounded by for the rest of your life. Because if you're casting your burden into a sea of nothing, it's just going to bring out negativism and anger and anguish and condemnation. And I can't believe that person did this, or they make me so angry. Let me tell you something that would be better than saying that around other people. Go out and find an oak tree and say it to a tree. Go out to the sky and just say it to the sky. But don't say it to others because it will just cause them to do the same thing. You're casting your burden on those around you, and it corrupts and it manipulates and it runs down and it accomplishes nothing. And like Peter, you labor all night and you toil all night and you bring in nothing. But if you'll go down into your prayer closet And you'll get down on your knees once again. And you'll launch out into the deep. And you'll cast your care upon Him. You have the consolation of knowing that He cares for you. The results are astonishing. As a matter of fact, that's what Peter said. He says, "For they were astonished." They were astonished. And said, "Forgive me, Lord, for ever doubting You. That You don't see what I go through. That You don't understand my anxiety. That You don't understand my issue. Forgive me, Lord, for corrupting those around me by casting that angry issue upon them and doing them no good and me either. Lord, I'll cast it upon You." Even though I don't maybe fully have my heart in it. Did Peter have his heart in it? I'll tell you the result. You'll be astonished. And I'll tell you another result. As soon as they were come to land, it says they forsook all and they followed Him. You've tried it your way long enough, child of God. The anxiety will paralyze you. Try it God's way. Whether you fully understand it or believe it or your heart's in it or not. Nevertheless, at the word of Jesus, I will launch out into the deep. I will come up to a higher place. And I will cast my care upon Him. And I will feel the rest that is in my Savior. Because He knows the issues that I deal with.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.